that applies to individual students, it definitely comes to the level of that. My own opinion, I think it's called Francis, that a lot, that's going to be a lot of honest conversation there. And I think we've got to talk to one another, honestly, and confront one another, honestly, even as we ought to do that to the students. I'm all for bringing them in here or in one way or another, getting together with them in a theological confrontation, as you suggest. And that there we sound them out, and there we find out what they need, and then deal with them, work with them. They are citizens, so we can accept them if they've got a good academic standing, and if they are Christian men, why can't we bring them in here? Why do we have to have a policy statement that immediately shuts them out? But then work with them immediately in the first quarter that they are here, and find out exactly what help they need. And then if we find that this is an impossible case, then we've got to tell them, okay. But the guidelines, the future guidelines that could be used by both seminaries so that we work hand in hand with one another. So that students don't start choosing one seminary over against another because of our attitude towards their next. I have a very close friend who has a prayer language, and that's as far as he goes. But immediately, the Christians arrive, and when he gets out into the ministry, there are those who say, oh, he is starting to. We have to happen here. And I was in personal contact with that man, and I find that he is just as much an immediate great man as any of us, that he is just as definitely convinced of the abilities of a lot of charismatics as any of us, that he frowns on many of the methods used by charismatics in their groups as many of us, and yet because he has a paradigm which he is successful. Now that's going too far. We spoke last night when we just mentioned the revelatory over against the responses, and I certainly feel that the revelatory, any time that it pops up now, is contrary to Scripture, because the revelation is complete, but the response is, who is going to judge that? Who's going to get into a man's heart and say, oh, he's got a prayer language, he must be charismatic, and if he's charismatic, then he must be neo-Pentecostal, and if he's neo-Pentecostal, then he certainly is a Christian. That kind of fact, illogical deduction. Is what we get into is if we are too definitely insistent on a particular policy statement we can be given into the hands of one man or another man to administer. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer language, but the man's going to use sometimes for a long, long time.
would all have traced that prayer to the external, which first of all, on the faith was grounded. And now that he brought his petition before God, he well poured out in his great faith in the promise of God's promise and definitely spoken. I do believe we've got a theological problem here, a theological issue here. One of the parts of Brother Nam, a famous memory, to speak of it as a sin of the devil. There is something here which we were concerned about, an enthusiasm, a theological problem, which is precipitating certain things. And I think the good brother of Wortman has got us on the right track. When we admit truth, we're well aware of the fact that they don't come equipped with all of the two volumes of secrets necessarily. We may have books, but they don't necessarily know them all. I venture to say from this that there are very few of them who really understand the need of grace and the significance of those needs of grace when they're here, when they first come on our campus. And it takes a while to get this through their head, through their mind, the significance of baptism, Lord's Supper, and the worship of Christ's worship. Yet we get pictures, of course. We realize that the difference is there. And we're building this again all along the way, in all of our hopes, for the right part of the Christian seminary. We're constantly building in where they are deficient. It's possible to they come with a lack of spiritual gift, or a spiritual sense, or by counting the gifts. I would again say that I believe that my youth was seminary, and I then say to speak all of you. The years under certain men, their guidance, the substantive instructions that they received, the year of victory, these were enriching experiences which really gave hope finally to the ministry towards which we looked and eventually and which we came. Again, we wouldn't discount personal experience that's involved there. But if there is already around us an existing sort of theological sense or position which exists in the church that lies, and then also is brought into campus, if a man arrives on campus with an announcement, he's free that he is identified in the grace. Or you know, take the baptism. He's gonna parade this and pound it home. Or if he comes, you know, for example, with an avowal of the historical faithful measure, and knows it all, he's gonna stand there and defend it all. Or if he's a Protestant, that I will not quit. I'd rather fight this quit. And take this stand, you know, on God. I think if a man comes this way, with a theological commitment which already is known in the church as adverse and hostile to his theology, I think he's got a special gift in this man, or with these men. And I think this is the case that we do the charismatic movement at this present time. We have and then can avow enthusiastic theology, which they come with and come prepared with, and if we admit to do so with great grace, because they're coming with your loud declaration that here's where you stand. What would we do if you came that way with an avowed stand pro-life? Or pro-against the contest, against the new grace as being power and salvation? I know no one in the Navy who has a great judgment stand against that truth and against the Lord's Supper. I think we need an adult priesthood, the Spanish or whatever you call it now. But I understand, well, we never would have admitted a man like that. I'm sure if he came honestly telling us where he stood, I think the issue is a theological one. And we're wasting our time unless we really get on to it at that point, that we reinforce about the morality point.
I concur with the expression of the last speaker. And when you look at our institution, the average of the student who is contemplating enrollment in a seminary, what are the criteria by which a city decides to enter our institution if it is has charismatic meaning. Is it not the question about what the policies of one institution are versus the other one and the like? And what I'm trying to appeal to you, brethren, is that that should not be the initial consideration of the truth. We owe him the courtesy of laying it out plain and clear. What religion theology is, how it addresses itself to this phenomenon that rampant in our day, enthusiasm, and what kind of a confessional commitment a man must have before he enters the ministry. And I think that should be for the vision as he's deciding to come or not to come to our seminar. And we are telling him, and then counseling at the opposite.
Ray?
Incident. Yeah. I saw my house the other day. He said, you know, calling that just the other day. So that's an answer.
Well, incidentally, just a quick answer too, though, if you ask, and you've asked that question twice, just where's, what is the rate of attrition? It's very low. It reminds me of what President Wallenberg, Montana District, said. He said, oftentimes talking to a hardcore Neo-Pentecostal. Now, of course, I'm not talking now about a man who is not yet certain, but a man who is convinced in his own mind, it's just like talking to a television set. The communication is in one direction. Now, of course, we have to keep in mind, this is, I'm talking about a hardcore Neo-Pentecostal. I don't think that, if I read the signs and the statistics and the names correctly, here on campus, I would hate to have anyone say we've got a lot of hardcore Neo-Pentecostals. Because this is quite a different story. Well, Dan Lochner? I think probably here what I ought to do is refer this question to Dr. Eggles and to Prof. Hauser and so forth. Of course, we are part of a committee working on this, and while I'm the chairman, nevertheless, when it comes to the implementing of this, those two men do the implementing. Now, I might say with regard to my own feeling is this, that I believe that we ought to, unless you're dealing here with a hard-nosed, hardcore, maybe I should say, Neo-Pentecostal, we should accept them into the seminary, because many of them don't really know what the means of grace are all about. They don't know what Neo-Pentecostalism is all about. And I think here we can't afford to lose all of these men. I think some of them are good timber for the Lutheran ministry. I have so much confidence in the power of the gospel and in the scriptural doctrine of the Holy Spirit that whenever we place this in front of them, I believe that we can convince them, despite the fact that I mentioned before, the rate of attrition when you deal with a hardcore man is rather low. I think we have had some experience along that line in the past. Do you want to add anything to that, Hank? Yeah. Yeah.
Of these six, five of them have been turned off. Because I want to be on God's side.
I don't know, I'm sure he could have said, but something didn't happen yet, and it's not made yet, as I see it. So I was pleading with him to study it. All of us, but particularly we have to be. I think the historians definitely have to get involved in the city of the and so forth. We're agreed on the reason. But Guantanamo, apparently, it's still an open question. It's better to nail down before we set guidelines and kick these guys out for something. So, can I speak for that?
Well, what I'm saying in the paper is that we're not going to get very far if we place ourselves in a position of trying to make a discussion with every manifestation of prayer language and the line. Mm-hmm. To me, the only way we're going to come to grips with this thing is with the underlying common element with which we are in antithesis, namely enthusiasm and negative manifestation. Now, this man's particular prayer language, and when we explore this within the age, we come to the conclusion that it's a type of enthusiasm. In general, we have to counsel with him one way. If it's a type of thing, you know, that is not enthusiastic, but that seems to me to have to do with criteria.
But I think that the common question is, to me, is that acceptable? See, and I'm hearing from one side that it's of the devil, and another side that it's not. And if it's, you know, it can't be both by something, can it? So maybe it can be that. Maybe there are manifestations in our devil, you know, or Russell Bell, I think that's where that comes from.
We actually, we're discussing two things here. Now, that is in the last few minutes. Dan was pursuing the, how are we implementing this? I got the feeling that he wanted to pursue that just a little bit farther after he had turned the floor over to me and I, in turn, over to Bill Hauser and Hank Eggers. Am I correct? Now, with your permission, I would like to refer it back once more to Dan, and then we'll go on with your question, all right? To your question about shall we or shall we not come to grips with the question, is glossolalia of the devil? Anybody have an answer to that? Well, I assume that we are here talking in terms of what we're immediately connected with, and that is a prayer language. Is that the substance of your... Yeah, let's give... Now, I've got a list here, but I'd like to, rather than discuss a lot of subjects at once, maybe we can concentrate on that for just a moment. Now, Al Smith asked for the floor in that regard. All right, a motion has been made now. I was thinking that it is out of order. Yeah, we have a business meeting coming up this afternoon. And then, too, I would like to hold you just for a moment to, does anyone have an answer to this man's question? What are we going to do with that hot potato? This thing is of the devil. Me in my house, we wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Because I don't think you can... Here's what I mean. I better explain that. Some speaking in tongues is of the devil. Because you have Satanists speaking in tongues. You have some heathen religion speaking in tongues. Paul reckoned with that, I think, in 1 Corinthians 14. But he said, test the spirit. And one of the first things, I think, that we have to ask is, what does Jesus mean to you in this connection? You see, that's not the only question. So I don't think there is a quick answer to that. You almost have to deal with that in individual cases. That would be my answer. Making faces at us, and so I have two more men on the list. I think we will call them, allow them to speak, and then we should stop for a break. Jim Bell? Yeah.
sort of didn't quite answer that way. Because I think if you depend a little bit on how seriously you understand enthusiasm. Unfortunately, I missed the first of the communication point, because I didn't have to answer this, but, you know, let me see if there's, let's say, someone coming to spend a seminar, you know, through a month of dinner today, or a lot of members. You know, how seriously are you taking the aberration of enthusiasm as, you know, false doctrine? Because, now, it's kind of into what Dr. Conkle said, that there's this thing that, in a sense, if a person says, I'm a Lutheran, you can't make any mistake. Because, you know, you should be able to work with them no matter what.
Well, how seriously I'm my case, I do like that enthusiasm precludes a man from a unconditional confession of Scripture, and ergo negates his qualification for ministry. Now, I'm not saying that it feels a man pastor or so, you know, and offers to worship him, but we can make that very clear at the outset, you know. That if when he arrives as a candidate for the ministry and announces to his peers or to his mentor, strength of enthusiasm, this will be confronted and a judgment will be made. And we have to have the courage to make those judgments. So that's what we're here for. If the man was in a large number, at the outset, when you came into the seminary, wouldn't we do the same thing? We counseled him, and over the years, yes, he tenaciously held to his large membership and wanted to enter the ministry with this kind of a witness that had compromised the Christian faith. I think we'd probably not certify him as well. I don't know if I'm completely to your concern.
Well, I think
it was one. Are you asking how hard to come down on this thing? Is
that what you're asking? Well, let me put this way. Would you say analyze
numbers? I wouldn't. I don't think so. I wouldn't welcome a man who is in seminary, who is a lodge member and who has total awareness of what the issues of his membership in the lodge are over against the Christian faith.
I'd like to give the floor to one more man, and then we'll have our break. I'd like to remind you that we will have two more hours during the business meeting to discuss this and related subjects. So if I haven't recognized you at this point, you will be recognized this afternoon. Norbert Mueller, will you?
You got a high judgmentalism.
we've got a critical assessment of those people who haven't experienced. We've got a conclusion of justification of compensation. So I'm not saying that many of these are the devil, because, but there's manifestation. I have yet to find a positive effect on my own personal experience that the parents manage to come across the human.
All right, now we'll have our break. We will reassemble in departmental meetings in about 15 minutes. And the exegetical department will meet in Classroom A. All of these are in this building, incidentally. Classroom A, the end of the hall. Then in Classroom B, the systematics department. Historical department in C. And the practical department on the second floor in F.